Welcome to Zikud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Ram Goldar, and today Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Mem Test, the fifth parak, Shor Shenagach Hazapara. So the three tops are going to focus on number one. The next Mishnah, beginning the bottom Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, explains how to evaluate Dmei Vados to pay when striking a woman caused a miscarriage. The Tana Kama says we assess the woman's value while pregnant and after miscarrying, and he pays the difference. Rishon Gamliel says Imken Mishi Isha Yoledes Mashbachas. If so, a woman increases in value after giving birth. El Shamanis of Vlados come in Yofin. Rather, we assess the offspring to determine their value. Rav explains from Rishon Gamliel's statement, Viki Isha Mushbachas Kodim Shetelid, Yosim Alachim Shetelid, is a woman more valuable before she gives birth than after she gives birth? Since childbirth is dangerous, her value is lower when she's pregnant. Rather, we evaluate the fetuses themselves. A brisa supports this reading. Rav explains differently, Viki Isha Lemishi Yoledes Mashbachas, does a woman increase in value only from the man for whom she's giving birth? Vein La'atzma B'Shevach Vlados Klum? And has nothing for herself of the appreciation of her body through the offspring? Her personal increase in value because of her improved appearance is divided between them. A brisa supports this reading. The Gemara explains that the first brisa refers to a mevakeres, a woman bearing her firstborn, when it's unknown if she can survive childbirth. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that if someone strikes a giyoris who is married to a ger, and he dies without heirs, the damager is exempt from dmei vlados. Rabbah says that if he struck her after the husband died, zachya la'ihi b'gavayu, she has already acquired the offspring when he died, and she receives dmei vlados. Rav Chisda objected, Mari Dichi, master of this teaching, Atu vlados sari ninu v'zachya b'hu, are offspring bundles of money that she can acquire them when her husband dies? Rather, if the husband died, no payment is made. Two brises are quoted about this case, one of which says he is liable, and the other says he is exempt. Rabbah must concede that his opinion is a machlokes tanan, but Rav Chisda can say that the brise requiring payment is Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that the woman receives half payment for her body's increased value. Although this is true even while the husband is alive, the brise teaches that if he dies, she receives all the payment for that appreciation. After another answer is given, the Gemara clarifies that regarding her body's appreciation, where she has a hand in it during her husband's lifetime, she acquires all of it when he dies, as opposed to dmei vlados, which she cannot acquire. And point number three, Rabbah said, Mashkono shel Yisrael, b'yad ger, if a security of a Yisrael was in a ger's possession for money the ger lent him, and he died, no one else can seize the mashkon, because as soon as the ger died, pakalei shibude, his obligation is canceled, and the mashkon is automatically its owner's. If a ger security was in Yisrael's possession and the ger died, the Yisrael acquires the equivalent of the debt owed him, and someone else can acquire the rest. The Gemara said the lender should acquire the whole mashkon with his chatzir, which is konelo shel medaito, acquires for him without his knowledge. It first answers that the owner was not in the city at the time, and wherever one could not have acquired something himself, his chatzir could not acquire it for him either. However, the Gemara concludes that Rabbah's ruling is only where the mashkon was not in his chatzir, so the owner did not acquire it. Otherwise, he would acquire it, even if he is elsewhere. So once again, the three points are, number one, the next Mishnah, beginning on the bottom of Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, explains how to evaluate Dmei Vlados to pay when striking a woman causes a miscarriage. The Tana Kama says we assess the woman's value while pregnant and after miscarrying, and he pays the difference. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Imken Mishi Isha Yoledes Mashbachas. If so, a woman increases in value after giving birth. El Shamanis of Vlados come in Yofin. Rather, we assess the offspring to determine their value. Rav explains from Rishon Gamliel's statement, Viki Isha Mushpachas Kodim Shetelid, Yosim Alachim Shetelid, is a woman more valuable before she gives birth than after she gives birth? Since childbirth is dangerous, her value is lower when she's pregnant. Rather, we evaluate the fetuses themselves. A brisa supports this reading. Rav explains differently, Viki Isha Lemishi Yoledes Mashpachas, does a woman increase in value only from the man for whom she's giving birth? Vein La'atzma B'Shevach Vlados Klum? And has nothing for herself of the appreciation of her body through the offspring? Her personal increase in value because of her improved appearance is divided between them. A brisa supports this reading. The Gemara explains that the first brisa refers to a mevakeres, a woman bearing her firstborn, when it's unknown if she can survive childbirth. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that if someone strikes a giyoris who is married to a ger, and he dies without heirs, the damager is exempt from dmei vlados. Rabbah says that if he struck her after the husband died, zachya la'ihi b'gavayu, she has already acquired the offspring when he died, and she receives dmei vlados. Rav Chisda objected, Mari Dichi, master of this teaching, Atu vlados sari ninu v'zachya b'hu, are offspring bundles of money that she can acquire them when her husband dies? Rather, if the husband died, no payment is made. Two brises are quoted about this case, one of which says he is liable, and the other says he is exempt. Rabbah must concede that his opinion is a machlokes tanan, but Rav Chisda can say that the brise requiring payment is Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that the woman receives half payment for her body's increased value. Although this is true even while the husband is alive, the brise teaches that if he dies, she receives all the payment for that appreciation. After another answer is given, the Gemara clarifies that regarding her body's appreciation, where she has a hand in it during her husband's lifetime, she acquires all of it when he dies, as opposed to the mevlados, which she cannot acquire. And point number three, Rabbah said, Mashkono shel Yisrael, b'yad ger, if a security of a Yisrael was in a ger's possession for money the ger lent him, and he died, no one else can seize the mashkon, because as soon as the ger died, pakalei shibuda, his obligation is canceled, and the mashkon is automatically its owner's. If a ger security was in a Yisrael's possession, and the ger died, the Yisrael acquires the equivalent of the debt owed him, and someone else can acquire the rest. The Gemara said the lender should acquire the whole mashkon with his chatzir, which is konelo shel medaito, acquires for him without his knowledge. It first answers that the owner was not in the city at the time, and wherever one could not have acquired something himself, his chatzir cannot acquire for him either. However, the Gemara concludes that Rabbah's ruling is only where the mashkon was not in his chatzir, so the owner did not acquire it. Otherwise, he would acquire it, even if he is elsewhere. All right, so now we go to our siman daf mem test, and our standard siman is meat, and we often use a butcher in the siman, a butcher. So here goes. As two women in the butcher shop were arguing, who was worth more, the pregnant one or the one who had given birth? The butcher got a shock when it turned out that the gyor is buying meat using the mevlados she received when she was struck after her ger husband died, was the wife of the ger he had lent money to, and who had given him a mashkon. Once again, slow motion. As two women in the butcher shop, that must be learned off mem tes, meat. As two women in the butcher shop were arguing who was worth more, the pregnant one or the one who had given birth, which reminds us, the next mission explains how to evaluate the mevlados to pay when striking a pregnant woman caused a miscarriage. The Tanakhama says we assess a woman's value while pregnant and after miscarrying, and he pays a difference. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, if so, a woman increases in value after giving birth. Rather, we assess the offspring to determine their value. Rav explains Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's statement, since childbirth is dangerous, her value is lower when she's pregnant. Rather, we evaluate the fetuses themselves. So, as two women in the butcher shop were arguing who was worth more, the pregnant one or the one who had given birth, the butcher got a shock when it turned out that the gior is buying meat using the mevlados she received when she was struck after her ger husband died, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if someone strikes a gior who is married to a ger and he dies without heirs, the damager is exempt from the mevlados. Rabbah says that if he struck her after the husband died, she has already acquired the offspring when he died and she receives the mevlados. Rav Chisda objected, are offspring bundles of money that she can acquire them when her husband dies? Rather, if the husband died, no payment is made. So as two women in the butcher shop were arguing who was worth more, the pregnant one or the one who had given birth, the butcher got a shock when it turned out that the gior is buying meat using the mevlados she received when she was struck after her gior husband died, was the wife of the gior he had lent money to and who had given him a mashkon, which reminds us, if a ger's mashkon was in Yisrael's possession and the ger died, the Yisrael acquires the equivalent of the debt owed him and someone else can acquire the rest. So once again, as two women in the butcher shop were arguing who was worth more, the pregnant one or the one who had given birth, the butcher got a shock when it turned out that the gior is buying meat using the mevlados she received when she was struck after her ger husband died, was the wife of the ger he had lent money to and who had given him a mashkon. All right, so now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf Mem Hei. So the Simmer Daf Mem Hei is Manishtana. So here goes. When the little boy of the Seder asked, why is it different? Why is it different? Manishtana. That must be on Daf Mem Hei. When the little boy of the Seder asked, why is it different for a Shomer to return an ox after it was condemned? Which reminds us, a Braisa teaches that if a Shomer was guarding an ox when it killed someone, he can return it before its sentence to avoid paying for it since it's currently a valuable ox. If he returned after it was condemned, the Tanakhama says, in a mochsar, it's not considered return because it's now worthless. But Rabbi Yaakov says it's considered return. Rabbi says they argue about gomim dino shel shor shelo b'fanav, if Beis Din can rule on the case of an ox, not in its presence. So when the little boy at the Seder who asked, why is it different for a shomer to return an ox after it was condemned, was interrupted by his brother who went ahead and read about the four shomrim, who are niknesu tachas abalim, which reminds us, the Braisa elaborates on the Mishnah daf mem dalet amud beis. Arba niknesu tachas abalim. Four people take the owner's place to be liable for an animal's damages, and they are the shomer chinam, a shoel, a nosei sachar, and a socher, an unpaid shomer, a borrower, a paid shomer, and a renter. If the ox killed, then a tam would be killed and no kofar is paid. If it's a muad, now ragim mushalmin is a kofar. The ox is killed and the shomer pays kofar, v'chayyavin l'oxer d'mei shor l'balav, and must return the ox's value to its owner, except for a shomer chinam, who was pater. So when the little boy of the Seder asked, why is it different for a shomer to return an ox after it was condemned, was interrupted by his brother who went ahead and read about the four shomrim, who are niknesu tachas abalim. Their father stood up holding a knife and said he would guard proper behavior at the table, just like he would guard a mu'ud, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokes about the level of shmira required for tam and mu'ud. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Ein lo shmira al sakin." A mu'ud has no sufficient guarding except the knife of shechita, and is liable for damages even when he guarded it in a superior way. Daf mem vav. So the simur daf mem vav is a cow that goes moo. So here goes. The owner of the mooing ox, that must mean we're in daf mem vav, moo. The owner of the mooing ox, which was standing by the dead cow gourd with the dead cow fetus by its side, told the owner of the fetus, Hamotzim Mechavero, all of Araya, which reminds us. The fifth parak begins, Shor Shenaga Kazapar Venimsa Ubara Betzida. If an ox gored a cow and its fetus was found dead at its side, and it's unknown if the cow gave birth before the ox gored it, and the ox's owner is not responsible, or if it gave birth after the ox gored it, causing the loss of the fetus, he pays chasi nezik for the cow and ravi nezik for the fetus. This mission reflects the opinion of Sumkas, who holds mamun muta basavak chokin, money whose ownership is inherently in doubt is divided by the two parties. But the chamim hold zek kol gadol b'din. This is a great rule in judgment. Hamosi mechavero al varaya. So the owner of the mooing ox, which was standing by the dead cow gored with the dead cow fetus by its side, told the owner of the fetus hamosi mechavero. Alav Araya, which is a call Gadol Bedin, which reminds us, Gemara asks, why the principle of Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Araya is called call Gadol Bedin, a great rule in judgment. It first answers that it teaches that Afil Nizak Omer Bari, Umazik Omer Shema, that even if the victim says, you're definitely liable, and the damage only says, I'm possibly exempt, the victim cannot collect without proof. And we also learn that Ein Holchin B'mamon Achar Rov, we don't go after the majority in monetary matters. So the owner of the mooing ox, which was standing by the dead cow gored with the dead cow fetus by its side, told the owner of the fetus, Hamotzi Mechavero, Alav Araya, which is Kol Gadol Bedin, and is based on Sfora, like someone sick going to a doctor, which reminds us. Ravashi says that Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Araya is a Sfora. It's simple logic that one suffering from pain goes to a doctor to be cured. Similarly, anyone attempting to litigate a claim against his fellow must substantiate his claim to Beistin. Daf Mem Zayin, so the simur Daf Mem Zayin is a maize. So here goes. The maize owner's cow, maize, that must mean we're a Daf Mem Zayin. The maize owner's cow that gored an ox and ran into the maize with its recently born calf to escape payment of half damages or quarter damages, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that where a pregnant cow gored an ox and it's unknown if the cow gave birth before the attack or afterwards, if the cow is here, then half damages can be collected from the cow. And if the cow is not here, then quarter damages can be collected from the offspring. So, the maize owner's cow that gored an ox and ran into the maize with its recently born calf to escape payment of half damages or quarter damages broke some pots that were placed there by a potter who had rishus to enter, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, HaKadosh Shehichnis Kederasav HaChatzer Ba'al Bayis Shelo Rishus. If a potter brought his pots into a homeowner's courtyard without rishus, and the homeowner's animal damaged the pots, he's potter from paying. And if the animal is harmed by the pots, the potter is chayiv. But if he brought them in with permission and they were broken, the courtyard's owner is liable. The same laws are taught for bringing in produce or an animal. Rebbe says, in all these cases, the homeowner is not chayv for property damage in his domain unless he accepted to guard it. So the maize owner's cow that gored an ox and ran into a maize with its recently born calf to escape payment of half damages or quarter damages broke some pots that were placed there by a potter who had rishus to enter, and then died from overeating produce that was put there by someone who wasn't allowed to be there, but still didn't have to pay, which reminds us. The Mishnah taught that if the homeowner's animal is harmed by produce brought in without permission, the produce's owner is liable. Rava said that this is only where the animal slipped on the produce, but if the animal ate the produce and died from overeating, he is put because it should not have eaten so much. Tosfos explains that one is not chayv where the animal brought the harm upon itself. Daf Memches, so the simur Daf Memches relates to Moach, brain, and we use Brainiacs. So here goes. The Brainiacs, why Brainiac? That must be on Daf Memches. Moach, brain. The Brainiacs, why baking in her neighbor's house, who was horrified when the neighbor's goat died from eating her dough, making her chayv to pay, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that a woman once entered someone's house with permission to bake. The homeowner's goat ate the dough and died, and Rav required her to pay for the goat. This is because since she requires privacy, because her arms are exposed during the process, the yard's owner removed himself from the property when granting her permission to bake there. Therefore, the responsibility of guarding his property is upon her. So the Brainiacs, why baking in her neighbor's house, who was horrified when the neighbor's goat died from eating her dough, making her chayv to pay, called her husband, who was busy testing the water in a pit to see if it was fouled from a shore's body that fell into it, or from the carcass's odor, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis had taught. Nafla bor v'hi b'shmeim v'chayv. If the trespasser's ox fell into the homeowner's pit and fouled its waters, its owner is chayv. Rava said this is only when it fouled the waters while falling into them, when it's classified as a shore. Avalachr nafila pata, but if it fouled them after falling in, he's exempt. According to Rav, Rava's statement is revised to be that an ox's owner is only chayv shehivish megufo, where it fouled the waters with its body. Avalhivish merecho pata, but if it fouled them with the carcass's odor, he's pata because grama ba'amahu, it's merely causative damage. For grama ba'amahu, machayv, and one is not chayv for mere causative damage. So, the brainiac's wife baking in her neighbor's house, who was horrified when the neighbor's goat died from eating her dough, making her chayv to pay, called her husband, who was busy testing the water in a pit, to see if it was fouled from a shore's body that fell into it, or from the carcass's odor. Unaware that an ox just fell into a pit behind him, killing his father, making its owner chayv and kofar, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if the homeowner's father's son was in the pit and was killed when the ox fell in, its owner pays kofar. The Gemara asks that the ox is a tam and it's not liable to kofar. Rav answers that the animal was a muad to fall onto people and pits, and Rav Yosef explains that it was not killed the first three times because the cases where it saw vegetation at the pit's edge and fell in while trying to eat it, never intending to kill, and became a muad to do so. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which stuff do we learn that in the case of a pregnant cow that gored an ox and it's unknown if the cow gave birth before the attack or afterwards, half damages can be collected from the cow or quarter damages from the offspring? That's on Duff. Mem Zayin. Good. Number 2, which stuff do we discuss who is worth more, pregnant woman or one who's given birth, as it relates to how to evaluate Dmei Vlados? That's on Duff. Mem Tes. Good. Number 3, which stuff we have a malchus by the level of shmira required for a tam and muad? And Rabbi Yezir says the only shmira for a muad is the sakin, the knife. That's on Duff. Mem Hey. Good. Number 4, which stuff do we learn why the owner of an ox that fell into a homeowner's pit, killing his father's son, was liable on kofar? That's on Duff. Mem Ches. Good. Number 5, which stuff do we learn that hamotzi mechaver l'alvaraya is called gadol bedin? That's on Duff. Mem Vav. Good. Number 6, which stuff we have a question if damages are paid for unintentionally killing by fire? That's on Duff. Mem Gimel. Good. Number 7, which stuff do we discuss what to do with the mushkon of a ger? That's on Duff. Mem Tes. Good. Number 8, which stuff do we learn that one is not chayv when someone's animal overeats and dies from produce that he was not permitted to put there in the baal bais's chatzer? That's on Duff. Mem Zayin. Good. Number 9, which stuff do we discuss whether Gior is married to a ger that died, receives the maid Vlados for injury that occurred after his passing? That's on Duff. Mem Tes. Good. Number 10, which stuff do we learn why the woman baking in her neighbor's property was chayv for the goat that died from eating her dough? That's on Duff. Mem Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is everybody from Rumgold from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.